banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show.
All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome in. I am Mike McGivern alongside my special guest, Dr. Brian Black. Dr. Black, how are you today?
I'm real well. Thank you.
It was good to meet you Thursday night on the sidelines over at Greenfield. That was great.
That was a fabulous game. Very entertaining. Game.
Yeah, you almost felt bad for Green. They kept coming back, man. If there was another quarter in that game, they may have come all the way back. That's a good football team, good football program. How long have you been the team doctor for them?
About 7 or 8 years. It's really been fun being involved with the kids and the community at that level. It's been really interesting, really exciting.
You know, high school football and high school sports in general is just a pure love of mine. This will be my 35th year coaching basketball. And I'm at Greendale Martin Luther for my second year. I came out of retirement. Long story. But I do a lot of high school stuff here for the station, and I just love it, as you do, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it's the trainers and I work together, and you know, make sure the kids are ready to go.
Yeah, it was fun because I'm on the sidelines and I see the trainer with the mosh jacket on, and I introduced myself and I said, "Hey, so I've got Dr. Brian Black on this weekend. Tell me about him." She goes, "Well, you want to meet him?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "He's right there." I go, "You got to be kidding! I didn't know that." Yeah, I want to meet him. So it was really good to meet you. Can we talk a little bit about your background? Dr. Black, and where you grew up and how you got into what you're doing?
Sure. Well, I grew up in northern Illinois in Glencoe, suburb of Chicago. And my dad was a general surgeon, Sid Black, and he had a wonderful career in academics and private practice. He taught surgery at the University of Illinois as well as anatomy, and he was an anatomist. And as a kid growing up, I can remember he'd come home really late on Thursday nights, and he'd sort of smell funny because he had been in the lab dissecting cadavers.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Med students, you know, and he'd give me a kiss goodnight. You'd feel that scratchy beard, you know, and that smell. And one day, there I was in his anatomy class. So, you know, my dad was my mentor, and because of him, I wanted to go into medicine.
Man, that's awesome. That's a great – I love stories like that, Dr. Black. I do. My father is a bricklayer and a mason, didn't have the patience to teach any of the McGivern boys much of that. And I love the fact that you watched him and followed in – basically followed in his footsteps, right? That's awesome. Is he still around?
My dad passed about 10 years ago.
Okay. Well, he passed really proud of you. You know that. So that's really cool. How long have you been at Mosh?
Well, Mosh opened up about 5 years ago as a joint venture between the Wheatons, which is a big hospital corporation now owned by Ascension, and about 24 orthopedic surgeons that are in private practice.
And your specialty is pediatric orthopedics.
Correct.
Which we have not talked about on this show. So it's and you see the stuff that I gave you, because I think it's important that for the first time that we have you on the show, that we do a good job of explaining exactly what that is. It's interesting to me, as I was thinking about this show, I have three grandsons that live kitty corner from me. So it's like everybody loves Raymond. And I am much more nervous as a grandfather of them getting hurt than I was, I think, as a father. And so we watch as the 6-year-old and 5-year-old jump off their porch and get all nervous, because the 2-year-old now looks like he wants to start doing that. Where my daughter and son-in-law are pretty calm with all that. And, you know, I'm sitting there going nuts in my house going, don't let them jump off that porch. Do you find that grandparents, when it comes to this stuff, get more nervous than the actual parents?
Well, I think the young first-time moms are extremely nervous and protective. And when their kids are injured, you know, they really take it a lot harder. And then as the moms have more experience, you know, they take it more as it comes. But definitely the grandparents have a special relationship and amount of worry, no question about it.
Yeah, my wife is a registered nurse, so she has a little bit more worry too, because she, you know, she knows probably sometimes knowledge is great, and sometimes having too much knowledge is scary, because you can have a cough, and she can go right to what it actually, you know, it's just a cough, but what it could be. Hey, on your website, I love your mission statement, and your personal mission statement is, in the practice of pediatric orthopedics, is to provide the highest quality of safe, compassionate care so that my young patients will have the opportunity to reach their fullest potential in life. When we were talking on the sidelines, Dr. Black, one of the things that you had said that really caught my ear is you said, look, I really enjoy explaining what's going on to my young patients. You know, some doctors will go right over a young patient and go to the parent or the grandparent and say, okay, here's what's going on. But when you said, look, I like to explain to them what's going on, even at an early age, I think it's important that they understand that. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, it's really fun, you know, to get to know the kids, as well as, of course, the parents, the family. But I always feel like I have a special relationship with the children that come in. And, you know, some of them are too little to understand what's going on.
Sure. They're
babies. But I take care of birth through college age, because the college kids are still kids.
Yes,
in my book.
Yeah, my book too.
So the parents usually are coming in with the college kids as well. And it's their body. It's their set of interests. If they're an athlete or in band or dance or academics, whatever.
Sure.
They need a strong, healthy body and extremities to succeed in life. And the kids with special needs, like cerebral palsy, spina bifida, they have a very high potential as well, and they have a quality of life that's important. So every kind of patient that I see in pediatrics is important to me.
He is Dr. Brian Black. You can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Brian Black, and I would recommend you watch the video. It's a really well-put-together video, and it has some great points from Dr. Black. It's just a couple-minute video, but again, go to mymosh.com. He is Dr. Brian Black. When you decided on the field that you wanted to go in, how early on did you know you wanted to work with young people?
Well, after medical school, I did my orthopedic residency, and that was a 5-year process. And in the fourth year, I was assigned to go to Shriners in Chicago. And you know, I always thought I'd probably do sports or general orthopedics, joints, you know, more
sure.
adult work. But when I went to Shriners, I really loved it. I loved working with the kids. And there was a professor, chief there, Paul P. Griffin, at the time I was there. And he is one of the founding fathers of children's orthopedic surgery in North America and in the world.
Wow.
And I was fortunate enough to, you know, work under him, and I was so impressed by him and his kindness and his generosity and his teaching skills. And then he left, and you know, I moved on as well. And I was presenting a paper on elbow fractures in children at a national meeting, and Dr. Griffin was in the audience. And afterwards, he came up to me, and he said, well, the only reason you're operating on those is because you young orthos don't know how to put casts on anymore, which is typical for Dr. Griffin. And he said, but by the way, Black, I need a fella, in other words, a fellow,
sure. yeah.
a Southern guy, at Johns Hopkins with me next year. And I'd like you to be that guy. And, you know, and right there on the spot, I knew
Jump.
This was an opportunity not to pass up.
What was that year like? It had to be incredible.
Well, yeah, the people at Johns Hopkins, you know, are very smart and hardworking, driven, you know, doctors and nurses. It's a very big complex. It's in Baltimore, very exciting eastern city. So, you know, it was a tremendous experience for me.
Did you go from there to here then, to Milwaukee? And I'm wondering how that, because you're a Chicago guy, Illinois guy. Did you think about going back to Illinois, or how did you get to Wisconsin?
Well, I because of family, we decided to come back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But on a hunch, I really liked the pediatric orthopedic chief at Milwaukee. George Simons.
Okay.
And I'd met him at a meeting, and I went up to him and I asked him if I could possibly interview to see about working at medical college in Milwaukee. And he said to me, well, we've interviewed everybody for next year, but if you can come in Wednesday, so that would be like in 3 days, and give a talk, and we like it enough, we would consider you. So, you know, it was a little bit of a pressure cooker, but
yep.
Yeah, I put together a talk and my usual thing, which at that time was pediatric elbow fractures.
Okay.
And it went really well, and I really enjoyed him and the other staff. Dr. Tomitz was there at the time. He's the chief now. And fortunately, they offered me the job, and they were my first choice as well.
Boy, that's awesome. You like the area? The Milwaukee's a good spot.
Yeah, we love it.
That's good. You're married, kids?
I have 4 children. They're grown now. My youngest is third year at University of Michigan. So we have 3 girls and a son.
He's a Wolverine fan. Still a Badger fan, maybe, or no?
Well, my son is a Badger. So I do love the Badgers, but I must admit, of course, when the Wolverines and the Badgers meet, I go with my alma mater, the Wolverines.
Yeah, we're going to kick Dr. Black out of the studio. No, I'm just kidding. That was a tough game 2 weeks ago. I thought the Badgers were I thought they had a shot to beat them. The sports side of this, Doctor, do you, and we're going to talk a lot about what you do, and we'll talk a lot about pediatric orthopedics, and I've got a number of questions for you with the packet that I showed you, because I think it's important that we just describe a lot of different things that you see on a, maybe not a daily basis, certainly a weekly basis. Before we get to a break, your day-to-day, is there such a thing as a normal day-to-day for you?
Yeah, I like routine. I think most people function well with a routine. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm in my office.
Okay.
And Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm in surgery.
And your office is located?
At 3033 West Layton in Greenfield.
3033 West Layton in Greenfield. Go to mymosh.com. He is Dr. Brian Black. Again, we're going to get into the pediatric orthopedic surgeons and what he deals with, what's normal, what's not on a day-to-day basis, and we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Like that band? It's from Chicago. So that's why we played it for you, Dr. Brian Black.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll have the next music cued a little earlier. That was on me. I'll take the blame on that one. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. My special guest in studio, Dr. Brian Black. He is. You can go to mymosh.com for more information. He's a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. Right? That's what's on your business card, I would think.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a little bit about when somebody asks you, what is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon? What do you tell them? What is your job title?
Well, I specialize in the evaluation and treatment of musculoskeletal conditions in the growing children, you know, babies through high school and even into college. And they have a myriad of conditions that are unusual compared to the adult or different than the adult. One of the big differences is the bones are growing. And, like if they had an injury, you have to take into account that the bone is growing, and any treatment has a lot to do with how the bones might be affected by the injury and the treatment.
Can we start, let's start early, and as the show progresses, we'll kind of move up high school and college. But you will see infants. It's 1 month, 2 months, 6 months? Is there an age that, right, you've seen them all, correct?
Well, the youngest I ever treated was a preemie and actually needed surgery for an infection in the hip. Over at St. Joe's.
Wow.
Through the NICU. That was quite a few years back. But a common problem is dislocation or dysplasia of the hip. And in the newborn, overall, it's not uncommon. It's about 6 out of 1,000. So there's a variety from frank dislocation to a hip that's loose. And certain conditions increase the risk of a hip that could be loose in a newborn. Breech presentation is one of them. In fact, every baby that is a breech really should have an ultrasound of the hip now. In Sweden, every newborn baby's hips are ultrasound just to be sure they don't miss it. If we catch a hip that's dislocated or comes in and out of the socket in the first 3 to 4 months, it's very easily treated with a very gentle brace, very easy to use, and the results are uniformly excellent. As they get into an older age group, we may have to put them in a body cast for a period of time, and that can be pretty tough. For instance, if a kid is, say, 6 months old,
right,
and we have to go to the body cast, they'll have to be in the cast equal to their age.
Oh, my. Boy, that's hard. That's hard on the baby, obviously, hard on the parents. If you're a first, well, not even first time, I guess, if you're a parent, how do you know? Are there signs that there's a problem with the hip?
Well, if it's missed, or sometimes it just isn't missed and there's no sign, it just comes out late, and a child is starting to walk, they'll start right off the bat with a limp, or one leg will appear shorter than the other. But early on, the parents wouldn't detect it. It's really it's routinely checked for by the neonatologist and the pediatrician in the newborn nursery and in the early exams at the pediatrician's office. If they suspect it, they'll either send them to me for evaluation or they'll order the ultrasound themselves.
Right.
And send them if that's abnormal.
That's my wife worked on the OB floor at Mount Sinai for a while. And so if she's listening, she's shaking her head right now. And you said, look, somebody will check that very early on. As they get a little bit older, is there a norm of either injuries or reasons that you're seeing children and babies for maybe 6 months to a year, or for a year to 2 years? Is there kind of a checklist of, you know what, I've seen three infants this week with this?
Well, another common baby problem is clubfoot.
Okay.
And that's probably about 1 in 1,000. It's more common in Hispanics and Blacks. Family history plays a role. And early on, we'll treat them with casts. And most of them will improve tremendously with casting. Any residual deformity would require surgery, however. And there's some different surgical techniques and pathways to follow. But typically, we can get an excellent result with clubfoot, even if it has to go to surgery.
What causes clubfoot?
It's actually of unknown cause.
Okay.
It's a combination of the heel being up high and turned inward, the midfoot twisted inward, and the forefoot curved inward.
Okay.
And it's there's a very tight amount of tissue that's holding it there, like a scar tissue. And actually, that tissue is stronger and firmer than the baby's little bones at that age. So when we do casting and treatments, we have to be very gentle and go very gradual for the correction so as not to cause other injury.
How does the parent realize, does the child, once they start trying to walk, or is it before that you see it?
True clubfoot is diagnosed at birth. It's very obvious. Some will be on just one side. That's called unilateral. Some will be bilateral, or both feet involved.
Interesting. As these kids get a little bit older, and I've got a number of questions regarding like growing pains, the back injuries and back problems are something that we were talking about during the break that you think is really important. And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Any other issues as these kids get, get older? I know once they get to age 2, 3, 4, some of the injuries or some of the kids that you see are actual injuries. where they've jumped off a porch or they've done something, hit something in their house. My son cut his the chin right there because he fell face first on something, and so we were at Children's Hospital and they stitched him up. But there are certain injuries as they get older just from being maybe clumsy or tripping and things like that.
Well, yeah, kids, the little toddlers are very top-heavy, and they fall a lot.
And some adults are as well.
That's right. And I think most moms that bring their kids in, that the kids are in towing or whatever, they'll say this child falls more than my other kids. Well, yeah, if they're in towing, that probably trips them up more. So certainly most in towing is normal, a normal variation, and they will grow out of it. But some are not. So I see a lot of in towers and fortunately, I can reassure the moms and dads that most are normal. But if they're not the normal kind, or same with bow legs, same thing. Most are normal, some are not. So the ones that are abnormal we'll treat with casts or braces, but the vast majority are a normal variety of kid. Another thing about them being top-heavy is, yeah, they'll fall, and then they get something called a toddler's fracture, which is the shin bone. The tibia can fracture anywhere along its shaft. And many times the x-ray is normal, or the fracture is so faint it's hard to see. So if a kid comes in and they've been x-ray's normal, but they'd fallen, they're still not weight-bearing, I will just treat them as a toddler's fracture. You don't have to get an MRI scan or a bone scan. It's a toddler's fracture. And then, the x-ray in 2 weeks or so is going to show the fracture in those cases where it didn't show up at first.
Hey, two quick questions before we get to break. How do you treat that, the toddler fracture? And you had talked about bow legs. I know back in the day you would, and I don't know if they still do this, but you would have to do surgery to kind of realign or straighten the legs, and then you would see the kids in almost like this cast where they had both legs, in a cast, and they would have that on for quite a while. Still do that, and if we can get back to the toddler fracture, how do you take care of that?
The toddler's fractures are treated with a cast for 3 to 4 weeks and then a brace for a few weeks. The bow-legged kids, most of them, again, are a normal variety. But if they're of walking age, we treat them with a brace.
Okay.
If they're the abnormal kind, that's called Blount's disease, if it's abnormal. Interestingly, Blount's was a Milwaukee guy.
Okay, wow.
He passed away some years ago in his 90s. Excellent guy. Orthopedic man. The older children who get past us and they can't be braced, they're too severe, then we operate on them. And you might see them in casts after surgery.
Yeah. Sure. Interesting. This is really good stuff. Dr. Brian Black, first time we've talked about this on this show, and I really appreciate your willingness to come on and discuss this. We'll continue our conversation. You can go to mymosh.com. It's mymosh.com. Look up Dr. Brian Black. And again, I recommend watch the video. It's a really good video. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true.
I think you played this for me. I'm just telling you. The music is brought to you by our special guest, Dr. Brian Black. Dazed and Confused from Led Zeppelin. You didn't play that because you got to meet me and you think I'm dazed and confused, right?
No, not at all. No,
thank you very much. Hey, so we kind of got through the infants, and as kids get older, when you're talking, 6, 7, 8 years old, they're starting to play sports, whether it's soccer or flag football or baseball. That brings a whole set of different problems and injuries that you see.
Right. Well, the most common fracture is at the wrist, just above the wrist, the lower radius. And unfortunately, a lot of them are from skateboarding, and the kids aren't wearing wrist guards. So we'll have a great pitcher or a great basketball player, and they'll miss a season because they wiped off their skateboard, and that's horrible. So I'd recommend that they wear the wrist guards.
Okay.
Parents really have to hammer that down. But elbow fractures are very common. Children falling on the playground or off monkey bars. kids in the field of play running hard. A lot of elbow fractures as well.
2 weeks ago on my high school football coach's show, Matt Hensler from Lake Geneva Badger was in. And during a break, a couple of years ago, when his son was four, we talked about, he said, hey, I should get the Father the Year Award for this. And he said, I've got another one. I said, what happened? He said, a couple Fridays ago, my son, who's now six, fell on the playground. He's complaining about his arm. And he said, Matt's dad, a big-time football player, Hall of Fame guy, and he said, I just said what my dad used to say to me. You know, that injury's a long way from the heart, young man. You got a football game tomorrow.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it.
Right. So he went out the next day, his son, and played quarterback on the flag football team. On Monday, he was wrestling around with him, and the kid started yelping. And he brought him in, and he had a broken arm. And he says, you know, how bad do I feel? That's a long way from the heart, young man. 6 years old. Matt Hensler, one of the best people I know. And he said, man, did I feel bad. I said, how long is he out? He said, oh, no. I just moved him to receiver. He can't play quarterback anymore. So he's going to be a tough kid. But he said, look, I didn't, you know, I should have listened to him. And I think that the moral of that story, as parents that, you know, don't cry, rub some dirt on it, we need to be better listeners when our children tell us stuff like that.
Right. Kids are very resilient, and they want to play. The active kids want to play. So they're not going to complain. They'll even hide some of their injuries because they want to play. But if they complain about an injury persistently, look at it, see if it's tender, if there's swelling. How did it happen? Were they running? Did they fall hard? And if it's persistently painful, a little swollen, tender, it's good to get it checked out.
You know, that I think is a key, and I've learned that from doing this show, that it's not normal for a 6, 7, 8, 9 year old to have swelling for very long. It you know, if it's still swollen the next day after they get injured, you need to get it looked at. Right?
Right. And there's also some oddball things, too, like inflammatory conditions like Lyme disease or infection or juvenile rheumatoid arthritis that can cause swelling as well. And those are more subtle, although bacterial infection is usually very painful, so they'll present pretty early.
Hey, we had talked during a break, and you had said, look, adolescent ACL and kneecap – is something that you deal with. And I don't think I've ever, and maybe I have, but I don't remember, heard of an adolescent tearing an ACL. What is the process then? Is it a different process to fix an adolescent's ACL than it is for somebody like me?
Oh, definitely. The standard adult ACL surgery, if you did it in a child, would stop the growth at the knee or cause the knee to grow crooked. So, you know, we can't treat surgically the ACL in a growing person the same as the adult. One option is to be conservative, do physical therapy, brace, but the kids aren't going to always have their brace on. And if the knee is very loose from the lack of an ACL, they could tear up other parts of their knee. So if the child is very active, athletic, in general, yeah, we're going to recommend surgical reconstruction of the ACL, but it must be done in a way that protects the growth plate. And we have special instruments now, and we use X-ray as well to see the growth plate in the operating room. And then we can put the tunnels in to the bones around the knee and put in the tissue that reconstructs the new ACL without damaging the growth centers. And you end up with the anatomical reconstruction inside the knee. The new ACL is in the same perfect position as in the adult, but we've done it in a way where we've protected the growth centers.
Do you find that two questions on that? That's really interesting to me. The rehab time frame for an adolescent with an ACL tear, similar to normally we talk 12 months. I think, right? With it just seems like 12 months is Jordan Nelson was out a year. This guy was out a year. Same for adolescents?
It's variable. if we I recommend using the kid's own tissue, because if you use cadaver, which is, you know, somebody signing a donor card, there's a much higher incidence of re-tear.
Okay.
And kids heal faster. It's going to heal a lot faster than the adult, I would think. But still, I caution them not to do any cutting sports until 6 months after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I do put them in an ACL protective brace after surgery. And once they're healed up real well, like maybe at about 2 months out, they can walk around without the brace. But I caution them, no running and jumping until 6 months post-op. And I'll let them run straight line in a brace at 4 to 5 months. And there's a lot of physical therapy involved to get the motion back and to regain the strength.
You know, every time you say something, I have six questions after, because this is really interesting to me. Speaking of braces, I'm going to go off for 1 second. It used to be that as a basketball coach, and we still do this at Martin Luther, we make it mandatory for our players to wear ankle braces. And it seems to be now that unless from what I'm hearing from doctors now, unless the athlete has had an ankle problem or an ankle injury, that you shouldn't brace these kids. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it's a little bit controversial, but not like we fight about it. But,
right.
Personally, I don't think wearing an ankle brace as a precaution is going to weaken the ankle ligaments and the ankle muscles, because these kids aren't wearing it all the time.
Correct.
They're going to go play in the playground without their brace here and there. So if they want to wear it competitively, that's fine. Some kids are very loose jointed as well, and perhaps they're more likely to sprain or tear a ligament in the ankle. So I have no problem with bracing a kid's ankle for basketball. In fact, I do agree with you, though, that if they've had an injury, we need to brace them for a period of time afterwards, for sure, or tape them.
Hey, we had talked about the adolescent ACL. You had mentioned that there have been some issues with kneecaps. Is it dislocated kneecaps?
Right. Kneecap instability, either partial dislocation, which is called subluxation, or male tracking, it tracks off to the side, which causes pain, or actually dislocatable, is pretty common. It's more common in girls because their pelvis is a little wider and their knees have a little more of an angle to them.
Okay.
But boys get it too. And it wasn't as common, you know, when we were growing up, because the girls weren't participating in general at the same level.
Right.
But now with these girls with really strong thigh muscles and hip muscles and whatnot, there's a lot more force going across the knee. And so we do see a lot of kneecap instability problems. In most cases, they can be treated with bracing and physical therapy. But with recurrent injuries and persistent really bad pain, if the therapy and bracing doesn't work well enough, there are some very effective surgical treatments.
Hey, before we get to a break, when I was a freshman in high school, Osgood Schlatter, is that the correct way to say that?
Exactly.
So I made the freshman basketball team at Milwaukee Tech, and then was told I was out for a year with Osgood Schlatter. This is a long time ago. And so they said no riding a bike, no playing basketball. So I did play CYO basketball then instead, because we didn't practice, we just played. And I'd get done with games and I'd go and kneel down in the snowbank, because the ice, it would freeze my knee. There's a lot different stuff going on with the Osgood Schlatter nowadays.
Right. Well, your story is typical of why that old treatment doesn't work, because there you were cheating.
Right.
You weren't supposed to be playing, and you were playing.
My mom just wanted me out of the house. I'm telling you, Dr. Black, she said, no, go ahead. Don't worry what the doctor said.
Right, right. No kid stops playing.
No.
So that just doesn't work. There's a very effective sleeve that puts a little pressure in the right places around the knee. My son had very bad Osgood Schlatter's, and he was able to play basketball and tennis throughout high school in that. And as an adult, he still has a bump on his knee, but it doesn't bother him.
Yeah,
very rarely does the Osgood Schlatter's bother into adulthood. If it's so painful that they can't run and play effectively in the brace, then we actually immobilize them for about 6 weeks and it'll usually heal. It'll settle down and heal. So if the athlete is really sick of the pain and they want to give me 6 to 8 weeks, we'll put them in a brace or a cast, and it will actually heal.
It's awesome. Here's Dr. Brian Black. We could go a couple hours with him, and I hope that he'll come back because we're never going to get through all the stuff that I had prepared for this. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Black. On the other side of the break, we had talked before the show about back pain and back problems, and you had some really interesting things to say about that, and I want to get into that if we can. Again, mymosh.com. He is Dr. Brian Black. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. More Led Zeppelin. Ramble On, brought to you by Dr. Brian Black. It's Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine, and you can go to mymosh.com. He is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. Dr. Black, we just got a couple of minutes. Before the show, we were talking about back problems, and you said, you know, a lot of times one of the issues is they go for years without anybody taking a look at them, and that's a real issue with some of the people you see.
Right. Back pain in children and adolescents occurs, but if it's not serious, it will resolve pretty quickly. Fortunately, most are just muscle strain, muscle ligament strain, and not serious. But if it's persistent, particularly in the athletes, then you have to worry about a stress fracture being the problem. The big doctor name for a stress fracture in the spine, in the lower back, is spondylolysis.
Thank you, because I've got that on my sheet. And there's no chance. Could you say that again?
Spondylolysis.
Okay.
And then if the bone down in the lower back breaks and the space between the bones, the disc stretches, and there's a slippage, then that's more serious. And we have another big name for that one. It's called spondylolisthesis. So sorry about those names.
No, that's right. That's why you got...
But a stress fracture is an overuse injury. It's a mechanical term. So like if a bridge, a lot of trucks go over a bridge, you know, they have to patch the bridge, keep it up. Well, the body is living tissue, and our body's constantly bridging our bones with healthy bone turnover to the forces, the pressures seen across those bones and joints. And sometimes in a growing kid or an adult, the process is overwhelmed and the bone will crack, will give way. And if it happens in the foot, you know, it could cause a fracture in the foot. That's called a march fracture. You see that in new Army recruits. In the lower back, we'll see it in figure skaters, gymnasts, linemen, weightlifters, tennis players, any athlete that does a lot of forceful play arching their back. If it's caught early, it will usually heal in a brace with rest and bracing and calcium, vitamin D, good nutrition. And a way to help prevent it in the first place is make sure your athlete has plenty of calcium, vitamin D in their nutrition. In the northern climates, we don't have as much natural production of the vitamin D through our skin because the sun isn't as bright. Vitamin D is... it works as a hormone, and it helps you absorb the calcium from your diet and helps the calcium go into your bone from the bloodstream. So extra calcium and vitamin D is a good way to get fractures to heal faster and to help prevent injury.
So when the nuns just said to me, sit straight, get your and they said that for, yeah, all the, yes, they did hit me. Yes, they certainly did. They were actually trying to be helpful for us.
Yeah, good muscle tone, muscle balance helps prevent the injuries as well.
Who knew that? I thought Sister Jen Rose was just mean, man. As my brother called her, Sister Ray Nitschke. You know, that kind of
stuff.
I'm sure
she was a lovely person.
Over at St. Peter and Paul Parish on the east side of Milwaukee. It's now Catholic East. Hey, we only have a minute left or so. What is the most common injury that you see now? This time of season with football going on, what are you seeing most of?
Knee sprains.
Knee sprains.
Kneecap, patellofemoral, patellas, the kneecap,
some ligaments,
ACL, and wrist fractures, you know, upper arm fractures. Collarbones has been big this year. We've had many collarbone fractures.
Yeah, I do the Thursday Night Lights, and I think, and we have seen a fair amount. In fact, somebody covering a game for us last night, they brought an ambulance out, and what went around in the stands was that he had probably broken his collarbone. Dr. Brian Black, this has been great. I really appreciate, again, you coming in. I look forward to the next time you coming in, because we'll go through pages, you know, 4 through 17 that I prepared. Thank you so much for what you do and giving back to high school football, high school sports. Really appreciate that.
Thanks, Mike. I really enjoyed coming in today and talking to you about these topics. I love talking about this stuff. So,
man,
anytime.
Same thing. This door is always open to you. He is Dr. Brian Black. He is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. Go to mymosh.com for more information. Again, Dr. Brian Black. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.